My name's Jono Bacon, and I am sick of emailing my local congresswoman.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I'm sick of emailing my local MP.
And this is...
Shot of Jack! Hardly a day goes past when the government, your government, my government, any government, every government, doesn't try to oppress the shit out of us and take away our digital rights. We know this, because hardly a day goes past when we're not asked to lend our voices to a campaign. Stop the DMCA, stop the Digital Economy Bill, stop BBC using DRM, stop ACTA, stop Google Books, write to your congressman, write to your MP, write to the European Parliament, write to your newspaper. Protect your rights, because they're in need of protection. But what are our digital lobby groups missing that the industry lobby groups have? Somehow, I can't imagine that the RIAA or the BPI or the MPAA are constantly on the phone to Beyonce and Jim Carrey, asking them to email their congressman. Sure, the guys on the other side have money, and digital rights protection groups don't, but I don't think that anyone's really cynical enough to believe that an industry lobby group literally writes a big check to buy a law. Government might be corrupt, but we're not living in Neuromancer just yet. So, why are our lobby groups dedicated to organising us to protest instead of protesting on our behalf?
I think you raise a really, really interesting point. At any one time, there is a series of proposed laws and legislation that is seen by free culture people and open source people as restricting our rights, and that it's bad for people and it's bad for access to content. And there's always an organization who is keen to oppress this, like, you know, to step up and defend our rights, such as the Open Rights Group in England or the Electronic Frontier Foundation here in the US. And they almost always ask us to share your voice, you know, make your voice heard, all this kind of stuff. And I have to say, I rarely see anything else out of them. And I don't know whether it's just because I don't know enough about them, but you do get this kind of vibe that there is a basic recipe for these kind of groups, which is get pissed off with something, and then email a ton of people who sympathize with your campaign and encourage those people to share their voices with a specific person or a specific representative locally to them.
Yeah, I mean, it is apparent that digital rights lobby groups do actually do some of this work, do work over and beyond just mobilising the troops. You know, they do go and they have the secret handshaky lunches and have conversations with MPs and congressmen and go on the radio and go on the television to try and put their point across. I mean, that does happen. But what I don't understand is it doesn't seem to be having that much success, right? Because if it was having loads of success, then you wouldn't need to get 5,000 or 10,000 or 50,000 people to write to their MP to complain about a law, because it would get struck down just because of the little secret conversation stuff. So if it's not having that much success, why isn't it? What do the BPI, as you got, the British Phonographic Institute, who are the RIAA in the UK, right? How come they get to go to MPs and talk about proposing laws, and we're just constantly on the back foot? It's always the case that someone's trying to come up with a way to oppress the crap out of us, and then we have to fight against it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. I think the first thing is that there is a cultural difference between, for example, the BPI and the ORG, right? So, you know, one group is proposing more restrictions, the BPI, and one group is proposing more freedom, which is the ORG. And I think part of the reason for the difference is because the ORG are always going to be kind of the, you know, the grassroots kind of group that don't have as much money as the BPI. They're always going to be trying to think of ways in which they can get their voice heard without it costing too much cash. Grassroots kind of campaigns like this seem to get a lot of bang for the buck. I mean, all you've got to do is you've got to provide people with a simple means of voicing them, of spreading their voices in a way that isn't too intrusive in their lives. You know, a good example of this actually has been Barack Obama in the US around the healthcare reform thing. You know, his website had a really easy means of typing in a zip code and then contacting your local representative and sharing your voice and saying, you know, you support healthcare reform or whatever else. And there's a little script for you to, it tells you who to call, a little script for you to read out and all the rest of it. They made it really easy. The ORG have done, and groups like that have done a really good job of doing that. And I think the BPI That's completely alien to their culture, because they're basically old men, you know, who are proposing draconian laws. And it strikes me that, you know, it's just, it makes sense for a group such as the OIG to do that kind of thing, because it doesn't cost a lot of money and they're more tech savvy.
I understand what you're saying, but this whole kind of grassroots guerrilla marketing thing clearly doesn't bloody work. You know, every now and again we have a success and a law that looks like it was going to take away another bit of our rights doesn't get passed. And hooray, that's great. But as soon as one's knocked down, another one comes along. You know, and well, you constantly know, I'm getting emails saying, this is a really important thing and we need you to lend your voice. Please contact your MP and make them aware that this is going on and tell them that you don't agree with it. And sometimes I just think, I don't want to do it. I want you to stop it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it as well is the fact that whether, you know, you said earlier on whether it's working or not. I mean, this is coming from somebody who's, it has to be said, organised some campaigns for people to express their voices together.
Mobilise the
done
community
this before,
from time to time, you know. Yeah.
But it's like, I think that in, you know, the difference between advocating something, which is what we tend to do with open source and communities, and oppressing legislation, is that the kind of people who are putting this kind of draconian legislation in place, they know it's going to be unpopular with a demographic of people. And the demographic of people are people who love software freedom and cultural freedom and all the rest of it. They know that it's going to be unpopular. So therefore, I think they expect it. So I think a groundswell of people saying, this is shit, isn't really going to affect that. I mean, you know, they're going to be going into this expecting to get this backlash. And I think the backlash, therefore, will be fully expected. Therefore, it won't really affect it that much. What I don't understand is why they aren't spending more time on the political side of things. And I just don't know whether that is because I don't have enough visibility in it. I don't know whether they are having these kind of like secret handshaky lunches.
Well,
doing this guerrilla advertising, a guerrilla marketing thing on top of that. So I don't know if they're doing the same sort of thing that the BPI are doing, but then also having this grassroots campaign because they're tech savvy.
You would think, though, that if that was the case, then there'd be more success, right? If the BPI or the industry lobby group of choice is doing secret handshaky lunches stuff, and the digital rights group opposing them is doing secret handshaky lunch stuff and guerrilla marketing, yeah, and on top of that, we keep losing, which we do, right? Then yes, either guerrilla marketing makes things worse or our digital rights groups suck at secret handshaky lunch politics, or they're not doing secret handshaky lunch politics.
Yeah, or the secret handshaky lunch politics. I mean, secret handshaky lunch politics. I can't believe I'm often with saying that. It's not necessarily, you know, what you're saying, using your example there of, you know, that they maybe just shit at it. That's assuming that it's a level playing field. I think the secret handshaky lunch that you've got with the BPI and what they can pull in their favour and what the OIG have got are two totally separate things, because a lot of this is just purely driven by content producers and money. So the secret handshaky lunch thing and the guerrilla advocacy thing may have no effect simply because they're not representing enormous
they're not
content
representing
providers.
A voice that anyone actually cares about.
That anyone actually cares about.
So the BPI or the RIA or the MPAA are basically going in there and saying, do what we want or we'll stop making movies. We'll stop making songs. We'll make your country a really unpleasant place to handle digital media. And so the government just goes, fine, we have to cave in. And all the ORG or the EFF or whatever could offer on the other side is, we'll stop buying songs. Right, and then the government go, we don't believe you.
Well,
but
the other thing
believe,
is, which we haven't
but
touched
they believe
on.
The BPI. You see, they'll believe the content producers threatening to stop doing content, but they won't believe content consumers threatening to stop buying.
I think it's because basically a very small demographic of people will stop buying.
Yeah. So essentially, the digital rights groups are not representative.
Yeah, and for content providers, that demographic is probably so small that it's just, you know, it's whatever. It's just, you know, they don't care. That's my suspicion. But you know what? One thing we haven't talked about, and I think we should start this conversation in the Shot of Jack community, is, you know, the fact that we're always reacting to negative laws, that, you know, things that are bad, and we're always saying, you know, we need to stand up against this, as opposed to fighting for positive legislation in the areas of digital rights and things like that. We haven't even had time to discuss that. So that is a great way to start the conversation. If you're interested in talking about this, if you have an opinion about this, you need to go to shopjack.org and share your comments there.
Yeah, you can get on to shopjack.org/discuss as well and find out how you can talk to us on Twitter or Identica, or send us emails. If you think that what we should be doing is proposing legislation rather than fighting against negative legislation, let us know. If you think that our digital rights groups are doing everything that they should be doing and we're winning the war, then you're wrong, but let us know about that as well.
Yeah, and if you are part of a digital rights group, such as the ORG or the EFF, and if we're you know, chuffing up the bong pipe, then you need to come and correct us. So go to shopjack.org and share your comments there. And we'll see you on the next Shop Jack.